In the New York Times best-selling novel, The Shack, the main character, Mac, is dealing with the abduction and brutal murder of his youngest daughter 4 years earlier. Following the guidance of a note that he discovers, he travels to a shack out in the wilderness where he meets the Trinitarian God face to face. Jesus appears as a young man in his 30s, dressed as a carpenter. The Holy Spirit is an Asian woman named Sereyu. And God the Father is a big black woman named Papa. Mac, who has always visualized God as a white male, is confused. And God responds to his confusion like this: Mackenzie, I am neither male nor female, even though both genders are derived from my nature. For me to appear to you as a woman and suggest that you call me Papa is simply to mix metaphors, to help you to keep from falling so easily back into your religious conditioning. I find that idea intriguing. Different metaphors to keep us from falling so easily back into our religious conditioning. Perhaps to remind us that God is a mystery. God remains beyond our perfect understanding. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that we see in a mirror dimly, that we know only in part. None of our metaphors for God, and none of the images we have for who God is, fully reveal who God really is. All of them together don't fully reach who God is. And yet, I would venture to guess that we each think about God in particular ways, with images that have been with us much of our lives. Probably for me, when I think about God, the image that comes to mind is of an older white male with a white beard. Interestingly, nothing at all like my own father. But it's helpful for me to have other images of God, other metaphors that expand my understanding and push me into new ways of thinking about God. Perhaps to highlight different parts of who God is. A number of years ago, I led a youth retreat where we talked about metaphors for God. We explored different biblical names for God and talked about which ones resonated with people. And I'm going to do a little bit of that with you now. I'm going to read a few names for God, biblical names for God. And as I read, think about which ones resonate for you, which ones make sense to you, and which ones don't, or which ones maybe push you in new directions. Father. Rock. Lord. Mother Bear. Creator. Servant. Friend. Judge. Shepherd. Spirit. Forgiver. Teacher. Love. King. Breath of life. Water of life. Vine. Comforter. Mother hen. Do some of those resonate more with you than others? Are some more familiar than others to you? All of them are biblical names for God. Metaphors that help us understand the mystery of God in different ways. They aren't definitions of God. They're using language to speak of mystery well beyond language. Images to speak of reality far beyond images. There are ways that we try to understand something of who God is. Psalm 18 says that the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Talk about a lot of different metaphors and images within one sentence. The psalmist is trying to say something about the strength of God, the safety found in God, the protection of God. Of course, we know that the reality of God goes far beyond such terms as rock, fortress, or shield, but these are metaphors that help us to understand one aspect of who God is. They're lenses through which we can encounter God, or God can encounter us. One of the problems with referring to God in only one or two or a few ways is that it dramatically limits our understanding of who God is. It restricts our ability to be shifted and transformed in our perceptions. It risks the names or metaphors that we use becoming idols in themselves when we find it impossible to understand God in any other way. We need to be careful to become too comfortable with any one image or name for God. I'm struck by the papa of the shack and the mixing of metaphors that prevents Mac from getting too comfortable. And I'm struck by Mac's question, why is God, who is beyond gender, so often referred to by masculine images like father or king or lord? Are these names still helpful? Are there other images, biblical or otherwise, that might give us a fuller understanding of God, that might challenge us in new ways? In the shack, when Mac asks why there is biblically so much emphasis on God as father, Papa responds that true fathering is much more lacking than mothering, and an emphasis on fathering is necessary because of the enormity of its absence. I'm not sure if that's helpful or not. Perhaps it is, but I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's sufficient for sure. One of the problems with exclusively male images and names for God is that some of us have problems relating to a male God. If our father was distant or neglectful or had abandoned the family, or especially if he was abusive, calling God father can be a very negative thing. It can get in the way of relationship with God. It can conjure up images of the power and the abusive power that get in the way of healing. For some people, the tenderness and intimacy of Abba Father that are very much part of that image can instead be painful. In his recent book, The Pastor Congregation Duet, my father Gary tells of an episode in his early years of pastoring where he was participating in a DVBS. He was teaching some children the story of the prodigal son and talking with them about God as a loving father. A 14-year-old girl responded, "If God is like a father, I hate him. I hate my father. I hate God." And there is my 22, 23, 24-year-old father with no clue how to respond to that. Perhaps what we need to do is reclaim more fully some of the other biblical images of God. On this Mother's Day, I decided to use a text from Isaiah 49, which compares God to a mother with a nursing child. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. I find it interesting that the text takes an image and a quality from a mother and then says that God goes beyond it. God is like a nursing mother, but so much more. More nursing mother than any nursing mother out there. More compassionate even than a nursing mother. And this isn't the only time God is referred to in terms of motherhood. Isaiah 42 has God speaking of God's self in terms of a mother in labor. For a long time I've held my peace. I've kept myself still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. In Isaiah 66, God is a comforting mother. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And Hosea, God is a mother bear. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and tear them asunder. And of course, Jesus refers to himself as a mother hen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. I find these images helpful. I don't know, perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. They enlarge my understanding of God. They're rooted in the biblical witness. I don't want to drop the name of Father for God. I don't want to lose King or Lord or lose sight of the glory and majesty of God. I don't want to lose the wonderful conjunction of the King of Glory and the suffering servant that are inextricably linked in who Jesus is, was, and is. But I also know that my ingrained image of God is of an elderly white male. I want to expand my own understanding of who God is. And for me, it is important that this include female images of God. In Genesis, we were created male and female in the image of God. I think it's imperative that we don't link God too closely with only one gender. Certainly, the Bible overwhelmingly refers to God as male. But, as we've seen, there are a number of female images for God scattered throughout the Bible. Noted hymn writer Brian Wren suggests that we reclaim many of the other biblical images and names for God, while introducing new ones that reflect our own experience of God. He believes that the main purpose of linguistic images is to express the impact of the living God on the people, on the person who speaks. Strong and vivid images in considerable variety are important, he says. It's quite all right if they clash with each other, because this reminds us that we are approaching that which is beyond images. This doesn't mean that we ignore the Bible as we imagine names and metaphors for God. We strive for innovative faithfulness to the biblical tradition. But it does mean that we also have ongoing experiences of God, a God who meets us within our own culture, within our own experiences, within our time and place. It means the images that we might use can also subvert aspects of our culture, or even our understanding of God, which are not in tune with God's purposes. It means that God continues to do new things, even here and even now. The hymn that we'll be singing after the message is by Brian Wren, and explores this idea of many images and names for God. And I'm going to close today by reading the words of another Brian Wren hymn, Name Unnamed, it's called. As I read, let the images and names wash over you and experience a God of many names, each only partially adequate, each telling us something of who God is. And here are the words. Beautiful movement, ceaselessly forming, growing, emerging with awesome delight. Maker of rainbows, flowing with color, arching in wonder, energy flowing in darkness and light. Spinner of chaos, pulling and twisting, freeing the fibers of pattern and form. Weaver of stories, famed or unspoken, tangled or broken, shaping a tapestry vivid and warm. Nudging discomforter, prodding and shaking, waking our lives to creative unease. Midwife of changes, skillfully guiding, drawing us out through the shock of the new. Mother of wisdom, deeply perceiving, never deceiving, freeing and leading in all that we do. Daredevil gambler, risking and loving, giving us freedom to shatter your dreams. Life-giving loser, wounded and weeping, dancing and leaping, sharing the caring that heals and redeems. Name unnamed, hidden and shown, knowing and known, Gloria.